19th of August, last week. We've been doing Romans 9 and 10. I'm not going to go over the whole lot. We finished off with Romans 10 last week, basically saying that, because Paul says, how are they, he's talking about the Jewish people, how are they going to hear unless you tell them? Whereas Romans 9 was all about, hey, the Jewish people were relying on the fact that who they were. I go to church or I go to synagogue and I tick all the boxes, I've done all that stuff. And Paul said that's not enough. You've got to have faith. And the Gentiles have got it, by the way. And then he finishes off, how are they going to hear unless you tell them? And that's really my point. Because it is about the world needs to know what you know. Because there is salvation. The world needs to know that you know. And we talked about the Rhema word of God. When God speaks, it's Rhema. It's not Logos. It's a Rhema, which means that you meet with face to face with God. God speaks. That's why when you pick up scripture and all of a sudden it goes wham, as it does sometimes, that's God speaking. When certain scriptures were, like last week, you know, Rachel quoted scripture, and that was a Rhema word. God speaking through them. And when people hear the Rhema word and believe, then they're saved. So, yeah, that's where we are, and that's where we were. This week was slightly different. Somebody asked me recently what an apostle is, because I was explaining that we as a church have an apostolic links in with certain groups. And I'd forgotten that many people don't really understand what apostles are. Now, if any of you were in New Frontiers churches, which some of you were, you know, Ephesians 4 was the... Yeah, you were brought up with Ephesians 4. You could quote it. You could use it because Ephesians 4, New Frontiers was... Ephesians 4. Let's put it up. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, and the evangelists, and the pastors, and teachers. Why? To equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up, until we reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Our job function, to make disciples, to see people walk in Christ, to know who they are and to be filled with him. And then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. That's life. That's Christian life sometimes, you know, whatever. Let's go back to that first verse. So the teaching always was that the teaching among the sort of churches that we are was always that this... That to build a church out, to make a church successful, you need the fivefold ministries, it's called. Five fields, got five fingers, it's very easy. So you've got apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers. And the new churches, the new Pentecostal churches, we're a Pentecostal church, technically that's what we are, even though we're not a Pentecostal denomination, taught that this is actually for now. Lots of churches don't. Lots of Protestants don't, because they said that this bit, prophets and apostles and prophets, aren't for today. They were there only for the foundation of the church. And there's only one scripture, and they're called they don't believe that that actually should happen. There should not be prophets, yeah, because they use Ephesians 2 verse 20 as their argument. Yeah, please. Built on the foundations of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself and the chief cornerstone. Now, and they would say that the prophets and the apostles were a foundation stone of the body of Christ, the ecclesia, the church. And that was their argument. Now, that actually doesn't say that. It just says it's the foundation of the apostles and prophets. But they made a case for it, and they had a reason to make that case. Because in the 15th, 16th century, when this theology came about, the Protestant churches, good old Luther comes along, and you know, we're Protestants, we're not going Catholics, Pope, you know, Satan and all that stuff. There was a lot of looking at the Catholic Church and saying, we are not them. And one thing the Catholic Church did was, they had apostolic succession. They had popes are Peter, popes, 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 all the way along till now. They would teach that, apostolic succession. And the church really wants to fight that argument. No, it's not. So they came up with a theological reason why it's not. And that's why the theological reason still holds for many, many Reformed Christians, you know, new churches like ourselves, the Pentecostal movement, many of those would hold to this, that the fivefold ministry is for today. And I did some study yesterday on this, and I actually hadn't realized that how many people are against the whole fivefold ministries being real. We're actually part of a movement, surprisingly. I didn't know. Most people in this movement don't realize they're in it. Apostles. Let's go back to apostles. Apostles. What is an apostle? Well, the Greek is apostolos, I think it is. Sounds very similar. It means somebody who's been sent. Right? Its original meaning was, during the Roman Empire, they used the Greek, during the Roman Empire, you know, the Roman Empire expanded quite a lot. And we tend to think they did it by conquest, which they did. Except they didn't start by conquest very often, in some countries they didn't. They sent a representative of Rome. Somebody who carried the culture, the beliefs, the gods, all of those things, and he was known as an apostle. And he was sent to a town which wasn't Roman, saying, hey, here we are guys, we're Roman, these are our values, these are our things, these are our whatever. I mean, underlying was actually Rome has got, is very military powerful, and if you don't agree to our stuff, we're going to do something about it. But almost like envoys of the people that were sent. So the Romans, these guys represented Rome, and they would be Roman in every way. And they would live there. They'd move into the town with their families. They'd show Roman life, Roman clothes, Roman dress. And when Paul takes on this idea of apostles, it's the same idea. The apostles would represent the king, represent who we follow, Jesus Christ. And so we have representatives going to go to a place and representing Christ. That's where it comes from. People who've been sent. Now, Paul calls himself an apostle. At the very beginning of Corinthians, he says, Paul an apostle. Okay? This is what I am. I'm somebody who's been sent by God to tell people. Historically, that has continued. Even though you haven't... Scripture is scripture. You know, the word of God is the word of God. It doesn't change. And so people now... What we believe is apostles are sent to represent God and bring revelation of Scripture. It's probably the best way of saying it. The new churches, some of the new churches have got really silly about this at times. I know a church locally whose minister's coming in, and they're going to call him apostle. He's only in his 20s, mind you, bless him. But they're going to call him an apostle. Okay. The whole thing of the fivefold ministries was who does the calling? Who calls the evangelists? Who calls the prophets? Who calls the teachers and the pastors? Jesus does. And so it's not something that we have a job function. Hey, let's ask for a job function for somebody. Actually, Jesus provides for those people. And Some when you go onto some websites, some churches, maybe God Channels type stuff, and you'll see,
you know, we have the apostle of whatever, and he's John's the apostle.
You know, I'm a bit uncomfortable with that. Because It's not actually what Paul intended. Now, we have had people who've had an impact over the church, especially the every move of God in this nation has had somebody. Luther banging on the door was an apostolic figure. He was bringing new revelation to the church. Now, lots of what Luther did, his anti-Semitism, the whole things, not terribly good. But all the way through history, George Whitefield, Wesley, great man, did stuff, changed stuff, brought about. People like William Haslam brought the revival to Cornwall, came up to Norfolk. Nothing much happened when he came up here. But, changed the thinking of the church of the time and where he was. I speak personally, my life was influenced by John Wimber. And I know some of you were as well. And John Wimber came along, and all of a sudden he said the church. He influenced the whole church, not just the Vineyard movement. In fact, the Vineyard movement is relatively small compared to how he influenced the Anglican church and most churches. You've got a Spring Harvest. The influence of John Wimber was quite strong across America. It was quite strong, even though they might not recognise it. You might be in a church which was influenced by John Wimber, but you really have no idea that the influence was there. But it was a very powerful influence. Now, we take some of our apostolic stuff in from Bethel, from Reading. Get good guys, and we like their culture. Do we agree with everything? No, of course we don't. It's fine. It's okay. Culture's different. They're different. They're Americans. There's a sort of misapprehension thinking that Americans are like us. No, they're not. There was the Times correspondent for Washington came back about 2 weeks ago, and he wrote a column in the Times saying, because he's now left, he can say what he likes. And he said, the problem with the English is they think the Americans are like them. And they're not. They have a completely different culture. They see things in a different way. And that's true of Christianity too. Because we see things in a particular way. And there are people we've never heard of that have a big influence. There was a guy in the Fuller Institute called, I can't remember his first name, Alan Ladd. And he wrote a book in the 1970s which influenced the church, the evangelical church, really amazingly. He was into kingdom. It's not about church, it's not about this, that, the other, it's all about kingdom. Now we take that for granted as a church. It's about kingdom, it's not about us, it's about him. Now that was influenced by this guy's theology that came in through there. He argued against things like dispensationalism, which was God has periods of time and this is how it happened. And he went against it. And this has been the major influence over the evangelical church in America. He might not agree with some things that we say. It's okay. It's all right. Lots of things that the church disagree with in thought and in our theology, especially in things like end time teaching, and that's okay. It's all right. So confusing. Hey, you could get mixed up and messed up and whatever. What we talk about is Jesus Christ. I don't know. Lots of times I don't know the answer. I have no idea. I don't particularly think that's right, but I do know Jesus Christ died for me on the third day, he rose again from the dead, and I have eternal life. That's the gospel. Praise God. The big things. And that's what unites us in the church. The big things unite us. In the fivefold ministries, there's a scripture, put next one. Sorry. Yeah. In 1 Corinthians 4, the story, just to give you an overview of this, Paul has started off I'm the apostle, but then in Corinth, and they're doing some things that really aren't very godly, and he comes in with a letter to say, hey guys, really you shouldn't be doing this, okay? And they have factions, and the factions are, there were different apostles. There was one guy called Apollos, good guy, came from Egypt. And found the Lord, but didn't know the baptism of the Holy Spirit until he went to Ephesus, and the people in Ephesus trained him, and so he saw a new side. And he was obviously a very, very good guy at communicating. And at this time in Corinthians' letter, he says, oh, well, we follow Apollos. Oh, we follow Paul. We follow this guy. Okay? Lots of teachings. And we get that in the church. We get people who follow particular streams or whatever. That's okay. That's all right. So then you must perceive us not as leaders of factions, but as servants. Now, this word is interesting. Paul is saying, you should see us as Apollo, apostles, as servants. And the word is really interesting. And if you just go on to the next one. Paul uses an unusual Greek for servants. Huperetes. It literally means an under-rower. Okay? An under-rower is you know, that the banks of oars, they weren't all slaves, you know, so some of them were paid to do the job. Not a bit like working in McDonald's for the rest of your life. But an under-rower was like under the other guys. I mean, not a very exalting position. But he was essential to move the ship forward. And that's what he says, you know, that an under-rower, an apostle's job, is to move the ship forward. And it's used to describe those who sit on benches in the lower parts of the ship rowing. Next one. That's it, okay. I'm going to read from my notes, which have closed down. Oh, there was one, yeah. Apostolic ministry does not mean that an apostle is seen as important in the first place. That's the perspective I want to put across. But as one who will often be in the hidden role of moving a church and region forward as subordinate to our captain, Jesus Christ. And that is actually one of the best definitions of an apostle I've ever seen. I love that. And this is from the Passion Version. That's from the Aramaic translation. But yeah, it's... And when you have... And actually, I think humility... In leadership, humility, you know, hey, we really have no idea sometimes. I mean, that's one thing about Chris Fallison when he spoke out on Friday night. And he was in tears and he said, you know, you have no idea what we don't know. You have no idea that I come here and I go, I have no idea what's going on. I don't know what I'm going to be saying. You think that we have some handle on this and we don't. We're just running with this. That's okay. They make mistakes. They get it wrong. That's fine. Because actually they're willing to admit it. There's no, whoa, you know, we're super duper whatever. Because we're not. We're just people. People mess up. We all do. But we have a great God who loves us and repairs it all. She's smiling, everybody. It's lovely. So yeah, that's where I'm going. That's where I am now. I'm going to show a testimony of from a Jewish guy.